إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. In the name of Allah, verily all thanks are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We thank Him, we ask for His guidance, we ask for His forgiveness, and we seek help with Him. And we seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evils within ourselves and from the effects of our bad actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, nobody can lead astray, and whomsoever Allah leads astray, nobody can guide. And we bear witness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no deity worthy of worship but Him, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His last and final messenger. Now, looking in the societies around us and the modern take on the world and the way people behave, most of the time they are in accordance with a particular belief. Everyone has a belief within them which has an effect on their actions. So there are people, and this is something which, if you look into any society or any ideology which has been manifested in societies in the past and present, you will see that every society is based on a very, very small idea, and it can be explained in one sentence. And looking through them, you have communism, for example. Communism is based on no religion, complete secularism, and equal distribution of wealth. So they say everyone should be equal. So, you know, the rich people are supposed to take the money from the rich and distribute it amongst the poor. So, but if you look into communism, there's a problem of envy. It's envy. If you read the books of Marx and all of the books of communism, it's full of envy. They envy anyone who's better than them or richer than them. So that's one type of ideology. And then there's many others. Democracy, which is the modern day claim of an ideology which people want to follow, where there's elected elite who are representatives of the society that we live in. So the people will vote for a particular party who represent the people's policies. But we can see also there are many things where politicians a lot of the time lie. So they lie to get the votes, and then all of a sudden they'll change the policies. So we can see that doesn't always represent the people. And there's socialism where it's public ownership. People are supposed to have own the country that they live in, and that's another problem where it doesn't always work. Socialists always tend to inherit communist ideas and a bit of force. So that's another idea. There are many things. But one which I think a lot of the world doesn't necessarily know that they follow, it's based on a very small ideology, which is originated from Darwinism, survival of the fittest, where the gene that came from the sea and it came out and became a man and became a monkey and developed. So this idea is that there's a survival of the fittest. So if you're able to win money, take it. That constant sense of greed. And it's also hand in hand with secularism, where you have, and secularism is one of the most dangerous types of, or as we can see which happened in the past, where they separate the church from state, or separate religion from state. So religion has no say in the moral activity of the land. So what happens, and what happens from that, is people say that we just follow these man-made laws. So if we can get away with cheating the system, or if we can get a good accountant who can let us dive and dodge our taxes, then so be it, it doesn't matter what the cost is. And we can see from this modern day, I mean, if you look into we obviously want to talk about the message of Islam and what the basic ideology of Islam is, but when we just look at the ideology of this secular and very greedy capitalism, where get as much as you can, greed is good, and a famous quote of a film which was mentioned to be the basis of this modern society, of these Wall Street animals, really, because all they do is really, I mean, you see the way they live. I mean, they live on, they're billionaires, and there's people, I mean, about 40,000 people average die a day of starvation, but at the same time they're able to throw food into the sea in order to keep these poor countries down. And this is fact. You can go into the bookstores and read about this. Openly they say food was thrown over, wheat and rice and all of the sources which will feed people, they prefer to throw them into the ocean to keep the poor people poor and the rich people rich. And it's very unfair, as we see nowadays, people dying of starvation, malnutrition in Africa and all over the world, in Asia. There's many countries where we'll see a lot of injustice. And when we look at what the world or what the West or the modern day societies are spending their money on. I mean, can you imagine America, USA, spend $607 billion a year on their firearms and on their self-defense? I mean, is it really worthy $607 billion? That's around 400 billion sterling. And this country as well, 60 billion a year, 60 billion pounds sterling on firearms. And you'll see the hypocrisy that they'll spend all that money on firearms and destruction and warfare. And then the second biggest industry is medical care. So they'll kill people and then they'll give them the medicine. So they're making money both ways. And that's what they want. They want people to divide and conquer, let people sit there and fight over stupid issues, Shia, Sunni, Salafi, Sufi. They let them fight over these things, and then they reap the rewards. They give them the guns to fight each other, and then they take the reward in the end. So it's something which anyone with an open heart and open mind will really say, this isn't a system which anyone can have true belief in and really defend. And a lot of the time, unfortunately, and even within Muslim societies, there's this notion of, they say, adinu lillah, adin lillah. They say, religion is to Allah. Meaning to say, when I go to the mosque, I'll pray, I'll do all my ibadat, I'll do all of my worship. But in the street and in my life, it doesn't mean anything. I just live for myself. Forget about everyone else. So this notion has been manifest within a lot of people. And a lot of us are even blinded so much by this thing that we defend, that people actually defend these type of systems. And they don't see that Islam is the only way. And some people say Islam is the only way. And that was the slogan of the Kharijites, where they went to Ali and they wanted to make a war. And we don't want to get mixed up with harshness. Because their slogan was, إِنَّ الْحُكْمُ لِلَّهِ. Verily the order is to Allah's order. So they were blinded by the truth rather than guided. So we need to be guided rather than blinded. Because people will look at the Quran, the ayah says this, we have to do this. But they have to understand that there's a lot of things that have to happen before it can be implemented. So if we were to look at Islam as a society, what the basic notion is, Allah is a sami' al-basir. He's hearing everything and he's seeing everything. You do good, you'll go to heaven. You do bad, you'll go to hell. That's or you'll be punished. And that's the basic, that's very basic. That's why you can teach children. And children, if you bring them up on Islam, you teach them, don't do this. Allah can see you. Allah can see you. Then they say, oh, Allah can see, I can't do this. So when you build your, when you bring your children up in that way, they constantly have that notion in their head. And that's why you'll find people in Muslim countries, deep in their hearts, no matter what they do, they always know that there is a God. They always know. And a lot of them always come back. They'll always come back. When they, in desperation, they'll come back. But when a country is completely denied of just being informed of what Islam is and what the true religion is, regardless, I mean, we want to bring Jews back to the teaching of Moses and the Christians back to the teaching of Isa alayhi salam, because they all call to this higher purpose. So the basic, as we know, the basic teachings of Islam, which Prophet Muhammad told us, Bunyul Islam ala khams, and tashhad an la ilaha illallah wa Muhammadur Rasulullah. So this is the basic aqidah which tells you there is only one God. And we all know these things. But we have to know why is Bunyul Islam, why are these five things? Well, iqamat as-salah, your five prayers a day are supposed to keep you reminded of this, to remind you of la ilaha illallah, to remind you that there is a sunnah we should follow, to remind you that Allah is watching, and all of the things that you do in the day. I mean, how can somebody pray and then they'll go into a haram action, be it cheating or backbiting? Or I mean, a lot of people do it because they've taken the prayer as a ritualistic outward form. So iqamat as-salah, iqamat as-salah. Always in the Quran it says iqamat as-salah. It doesn't say just a salah, iqamat as-salah. You have to put the salah up, yani fulfill the prayer. Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi said that the salat is amad al-deen, that the salah is the central pillar post of this religion. If you knock this post down, you've knocked the religion down. So if you neglect the prayer, I mean, and his last words is as-salah, as-salah. The last word on his mouth is salah, as-salah. I mean, if Muhammad Sallallahu had one piece of advice for us, he was telling us prayer. Concentrate on your prayer. Have khushu' on your prayer. Remember what you're saying. And if you remember your prayer, I mean, every time we say our prayer, Maliki yawmiddin, Maliki yawmiddin, Allah is the king, or the king of the day of judgment. Maliki yawmiddin. And we know that the day of judgment could come in a split second. We don't know. So if we're constantly reminded that our end is near, death is near, Muhammad was constantly telling, Akthiru min dhikri hazim al-malazzat. Increase in the remembrance of the destroyer of pleasures. Because when you die, all of your pleasures are destroyed in front of you. You'll find somebody, you know, he has money, he has houses, cars and wealth and fame and fortune. As soon as he dies, they're all knocked down in front of him. It doesn't mean anything to him anymore. All these things he's about is what's going to happen next. And a lot of us are heedless. That's why Muhammad said, Nas nuyam idha matu intabahu. People are asleep. When they die, they wake up. So the Islam constantly reminds us of this. We have to constantly have that on our mind. But it doesn't mean death and just constantly being depressed. Death so you can do good actions. And then, you know, obviously the third pillar of Islam is zakah. And zakah is purification of your wealth. The purification of your wealth. If your wealth is sitting there, you have £10,000 in the bank for 10 years, it gets dirty. That's why zakah is a purification of your wealth. And you see these people who hoard their money and depend on the interest which was made from it. That's why there's so much corruption in the world. This interest issue is a very big issue. And it will not be solved in one day or one night. We can't just say, let's eliminate it. There's steps towards it. And we need to seek help and consultation from scholars and people who have studied. But at the same time, we need to know it's wrong. A lot of people and the scholars have permitted for us to have a mortgage for our house, just your house. But if you are going to a business, they don't allow you to take mortgages for your business. But at the same time, we need to know that how severe and how disgusting interest actually is. Because, I mean, we can't just say, okay, it's halal and depend on it. No, we need to say it's halal just so we can get through what we're in at the moment. But at the same time, no, we need to have a way out. And Muhammad ﷺ, he put in similar, he said that the interest, riba, and in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَذَنُ بَحَرْبٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ يعني, riba, interest, Allah says, wait for a war from Allah and His Messenger. Allah will put war against people who and it doesn't mean to say just that, because Allah says, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ riba وَيُرْبِ صَدَقَاتِ. Allah will make riba disappear. And that's all of this money, where has it gone? All of these millions and billions of pounds has just disappeared. يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ riba, He will remove it. وَيُرْبِ صَدَقَاتِ. And people who give sadaqah, He will increase it. And that's the thing, a lot of people are living beyond their means. And a lot of people, they buy what they want, but not what they need. And money is an end to them. The end is their money. I'm doing this, or I can do this, or I can do this, so I can have money, so I can be rich. And they think wealth makes them happy. But that's obviously not the case, as we've seen many people. And it's Sawm. And Sawm Ramadan. Ramadan is that yearly activity which we do, and we have to remember, we're nearly there. Just under 1.5 months now, Ramadan is coming. So we need to try and get into the training mode of Ramadan by reading Quran, fasting a few days if we can. But Sawm is a yearly thing. The Sahaba was said that they used to... Muhammad ﷺ, the only time he wished to live longer was before Ramadan. Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. Oh Allah, let us live for Ramadan. The only time he asked to live longer was just before Ramadan. So the Sahaba was said that they used to live for Ramadan. So at Ramadan, for Ramadan they would spend their time in prayer and worship and dua. For the 6 months later, they would be constantly working from what they've achieved in Ramadan. And the second 6 months, they were praying to live for the next Ramadan. So Ramadan was the central point of the year. That was the middle central point of the year, Ramadan. And we need to know the value of Ramadan. And obviously the last one is Hajj. And whoever can do the Hajj. And Hajj, if you look at the symbol of Hajj, it's a remembrance of again, death. That we're leaving the world. We're all equal. You dress in two basic pieces of cloth. Nobody is better than nobody. You can't go in your Rolls Royce or your Bentley. Everyone is equal. And it's reminding you that this is death. You have to sort out all of your financial issues. You have to settle any problems you have with people. Then you have to write your will. And then you go to the Hajj, and you're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as if this is your end. And it's a rebirth. That's why it's a rebirth. If you go to Hajj, it makes you reborn. So those are the five pillars of Islam. And if you really study them, not just by memorizing what they are, but the essence of the arkan of Islam, or the bunya al-Islam ala khams, these are the five pillars of Islam. And what I want to talk about today briefly, inshallah, is a Quranic worldview, or through the eyes of the Quran. Because a lot of people, when they analyze things, their opinions are a lot of the time tainted by their upbringing, or by the society they live in, or by opinions that they've learned at a young age. But they don't always look through the Quran. And many things we can always say, what does the Quran say about this? So when we see the media constantly backbiting people, and slandering people, and insulting people, and then they find out that these issues are their lies, they never apologize, they just carry on. Allah forbids this in the Quran. Allah says that for you to backbite about someone else, if you're eating their dead flesh, is this when this person has died, is this you're eating their flesh dead, while they're dead? He says, أَحَبَّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. Would any of you like to eat your brother's flesh while he's dead? And then you'll be disgusted from it. It's exactly the same way when we're backbiting and talking about people. You know, so and so, I saw him here. So and so, I saw him there. All of these things, we need to really purify ourselves from this. And Allah, as we always say, Allah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيْرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيْرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. We have to remember any little action, because Allah خَلَقَ الْمِزَانِ. The mizan is the balance. As we know, Allah created the balance. So any bad action that comes out will always come back. One way or another, it will come back. And all of the problems that we face, and Ibn al-Qayyim, he said, كل الأمراض, he said, all of the diseases that we have, the spiritual diseases and the depression and all of these things, he said, they're a result of our bad actions. So people often, you know, they're depressed and they're down, they don't know why. Why am I feeling like this? Why can't I feel khushu'? Because they haven't gone to Allah. والمخرج عند الله, the exit is to Allah. من يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا. Whoever has piety and real taqwa of Allah. And taqwa is an active form, it's not passive. Taqwa doesn't say, okay, salim to nafsi lillah, I'm just submitting myself to Allah. Taqwa is to prevent and protect yourself from any punishment or anything that may befall you from Allah. That's taqwa. Having that sense of piety to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can we just move slightly forward just to give space to people at the back? And we need to understand, brothers and sisters, that our life is very short. And if you ask people, old people, people who are in their 90s or 80s, and they'll tell you, really, my life has passed. There's really all what I was working for is not, I'm not feeling it anymore. My senses have gone down, my sense of taste, smell, touch, sight, it's all weakened. وَمَنْ نُعْمِرْهُ نُنَكِسُهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ أَفَلَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Yasin, وَمَنْ نُعْمِرْهُ, he who we give strength and prosperity to, وَمَنْ نُعْمِرْهُ نُنَكِسُهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ, we cause him to go down and weak again. أَفَلَا يَعْقِلُونَ, do they not ponder and think about this? It's a very short period of time. People are tired and people are depressed, but you know, a lifetime of, even if you live 100 years, is nothing in comparison to eternity. We need to remember this, eternity. I mean, this is a preparation, this is a training course, or just a preparation for the next life. Whatever you invest here, you will find in the next life. And you might not, it doesn't necessarily mean you'll find the ajr in the dunya as well. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. Whoever fears or has خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ, he is preparing for the meeting with Allah, he have two jannahs, one jannah in the earth and one jannah in the hereafter. That's what the ulama say. And the jannah in the earth is the rida, to have contentment with what's happening. We see a lot of things we're upset with, and it's true, we have to have feelings. We're not saying to turn our emotions off, but at the same time know that we have to look at this world through the Qur'an. And the Qur'an has to be the prism that we look through. If we look through democracy, we'll find faults. If we look through socialism or capitalism or whatever Islam or ideology we look through, you'll get distorted and argumentative points. The Qur'an, we don't say, of course there are interpretations of the Qur'an and different meanings and different tafsirs. That if we look through the Qur'an, you'll find it makes a lot more sense. And that's why it's the fastest growing religion. Why? And even when they open the Qur'an in English, which is still, when you open the Qur'an in English, it doesn't have as strong an impact as it does in Arabic. But there are still thousands and thousands of people are turning to Islam because they find, a lot of people are depressed and down. A lot of people, they have problems. They might be happy and drinking and driving and going on drugs and feeling high all the time. But there's a lot of people who are down and depressed. And they find the true sweetness and bliss that we find in the Qur'an. And it's a shame that we don't want ourselves to just call ourselves Muslim by name, that we were born Muslim and I'm Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Jum'ah or Surah Al-Hadith, طَلَ عَلَيْهُمُ الْأَمَدْ فَقَصَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. He was talking about Bani Israel, where the Amad, the time was extended. They had this Torah for so long, their hearts became hard. And we've had this Qur'an for so long. We've had this Qur'an for over 1,400 years. Sitting there, perfect. And Allah, because He knows people are going to be corrupt, and they're going to try to change the Qur'an, He took an oath upon Himself to protect the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken it upon Himself to preserve the Qur'an in its original form. So we say, alhamdulillah, that Allah has preserved the Qur'an. But have we reflected upon it? Do we memorize it? And not just memorizing the words or the lines, but memorizing the essence of the Qur'an. And remember this, طَلَ عَلَيْهُمُ الْأَمَدْ فَقَصَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. They had the Torah for so long, their hearts became hard. They just neglected it. They put it on the shelf and said, oh, this is ours, this belongs to us. We are Sha'abullah al-Mukhtar, we are the chosen ones. Alhamdulillah, we should say that we are Muslim. We don't say, God should thank us, that we're Muslim. No, we should thank Allah and thank Muhammad for inviting us to this religion. And we should say, alhamdulillah, we're from Ummat Muhammad. Many people from before Muhammad ﷺ, they were from Qawm Isa, Qawm Musa. But Allah, Muhammad ﷺ is the best of creation. So we, alhamdulillah, we are from Ummah Muhammad. And alhamdulillah, we're living in this time. This is a very difficult time for some people, but it's an easy time in other ways. And we need to understand that this Quran, in Surah Al-Furqan, Allah says, فَلَا تُطِعَ الْكَافِرِينَ وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جَهَدًا كَبِيرًا. Allah says, don't follow the ideologies and systems of the kafirin, the people who oppose the Quran. وَجَهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جَهَدًا كَبِيرًا. And they say, fight with it and strive with it. And this is talking about the Quran. جَهَدًا كَبِيرًا. Your jihad in this life is to use the Quran as your way and means and tools of life and fight with it. It doesn't mean to say to pick up the Quran and start hitting people with it, or going around just trying to preach to people. But it's implementing it in your life, and that's your jihad. And we spoke about jihad before, where there's many things before. It doesn't mean to go and kill people. There's things you have to do. It's implementing it and studying it and practicing what you preach, and then calling people and having patience. That's all part of jihad. And a person can die mujahid on his bed. You don't have to be in a battlefield to be mujahid. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we'll close soon inshaAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Rum. And Rum is a magnificent surah. The whole Quran is magnificent. But Surah Al-Rum is talking about the Romans. And the Romans also means the Europeans, which ultimately means the Americans as well. So the West, talking about Rum. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Rum, he says, after telling that there was a battle between the Christians and the Romans, the Byzantine Romans, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا يُخْلِفُ اللَّهُ وَعَدَهُ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرَ مِنَ الْحَيَةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنَ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. He says that Allah has promised that this battle will be won, and then he says the disbelievers, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَةِ الدُّنْيَا. They know the outward of the world. So science and all of these amazing things that we have, airplanes and cars and all of the scientific material things. يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنَ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. But they are heedless of the next life, of the second life that we're going to be raised in. But they're heedless. And this is the essence of the Romans, or the Europeans. It's a secular society which has been separated from religion. Years ago, if you look at in the Victorian times, women in this country, the word trousers, imagine I'm saying the word trousers now. Just trousers, the garment, the lower garment that we wear. In the Victorian times, it was considered rude to say trousers, because it referred to the lower half of the body, which was not good the word to say. They don't want to refer to that. So they had things which were, they inherited from their religion. Haya is a beautiful thing. Haya doesn't mean shyness. It means to have, and Muhammad ﷺ was haya. He had haya. Uthman ibn Affan كان يستحي. الحياء, Muhammad ﷺ said, إِلَّا تَسْتَحِي فَصْنَعْ مَا شِئْتْ. If you have no haya, do anything you want. And haya is a sense of, not embarrassment, but a sense if you don't want to embarrass, it's not going, it's kind of embarrassment. You don't want to embarrass yourself. You don't want to do things which are outwardly wrong. Keep your sins to yourself in private. So now we see people kissing in the street and doing all kinds of things in the street. That is no haya. And if you go to a lot of countries, alhamdulillah, they still have haya. You do that and the people wouldn't accept it. You can't do that in the street. This is something, there's a place for everything. There's a time and place for everything. So this secular society tries to separate religion from state. Separate any moral connections to what should move us and shake us, and just put it to this Darwinistic type of attitude, capitalism, survival of the fittest. If somebody has been made redundant and he's above 60, he'll never get a job. Oh, he's too old. We want the young blood. We want the people who can give us money. They don't care. They really don't. And if they did care, why did they leave so many people? I mean, wallahi, honestly, this is very factual, and you can read a lot of books. And that's the problem. We don't read books anymore. The bookshops are closing down because people don't read anymore. They just want to watch the headlines on the news and let this just manipulate our minds. And I'm not saying don't watch the news, but at the same time, question these things. Don't just accept everything that is given to us. Question, what's going on in the world? Why is it that there's people dying of AIDS and starvation and malnutrition which can be solved overnight? They could have a meeting, sit together and say, rather than spending these billions of pounds on bankers' wages and bankers' increases of bonuses, we could solve this problem of starvation. But they don't want to. So if they really cared, they would put some system in place. But they don't want, they prefer. And when I say they, I'm not pointing to particular people, but I'm saying a lot of the time it's manifest from a young age. And when people get old, they realize what mistakes they've made. And you can read the books of these politicians who, in the 80s and 90s, write their memoirs. And they say, if only I could repent to God. They start to believe in God. And if only I could say sorry to all of these people, I've destroyed their lives. A lot of things, I mean, wallahi, read. We need to read. That's what we need. Because we are ummat taqra. We're not ummat isma' or itfarrag. We're not ummat of watch TV or ummat listen to a tape. No, ifra. Ifra, and ifra is a very rich word. It's the first word. If we could just take that from today, ifra. Just read the Quran. At least read the Quran and read the tafsir and start to question what's going on in the world. So, unfortunately, and a lot of us have this disease where we have accepted a lot of what's happening, and we follow sometimes and even defend the systems which are against us. SubhanAllah, a lot of people are very defensive. I met many Muslims who say, no, Islam it can't be used as a political system. And I'm not saying political in the sense of taking over countries, but a political system as a guide. The scholars always steered clear of politics, because they knew how corrupt it could lead you. But at the same time, we need to know it has to be the mover, it has to be the catalyst in the middle, which tells us what's right and what's wrong. Because we don't know what's right and wrong. Allah tells us what's right and wrong. And that's why we need the guidance. And the best way of the guidance is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. خير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. The best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the hadith which Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and this is one of his last hadith towards the end of his khutbah al-wada', he says, لا أخشى عليكم الدنيا. لا أخشى عليكم الفقر. عفوا. لا أخشى عليكم الفقر. I don't fear poverty for you. ولكني أخشى عليكم الدنيا. Rather, I fear this world for you. And dunya doesn't mean the world, the alam. Dunya comes from a root of dana, which means where you constantly strive for something you can never reach. No one will ever be able to fulfill all of the dunya. So, أخشى عليكم الدنيا أن تتنافسوها كما تنافسها الذين من قبلكم فتهلككم كما أهلكتهم. I fear this dunya for you, that you will start to breathe it and compete in it and strive for it. So it will destroy you the same way it destroyed the people before you. Because the people before us were destroyed from materialistic things. That's why when Isa alayhi salam came and he tossed the tables when he saw these people dealing in the church or dealing in the synagogue, he was upset with this. So imagine if Jesus alayhi salam came now. What would he do if he saw this complete, real turn of the tables? I mean, really, these bankers, they're robbing us. I mean, subhanAllah, all this money that we put into our banks and systems, and then the government, our own tax money, goes to pay them out, to bail them out. Is that fair? That's not fair. Anyone will tell you this isn't fair. And why should these bankers live a life of luxury and then still get bonuses? It's madness. It's madness. This is real madness. And anyone with an open mind will say, and if you read the books, you'll see even more madness, where they're trying to increase their manipulation in trying to model societies around this banking system. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really to guide us to understand the essence of the Qur'an, and understand this real, that we need to have this as a prism of our mentality and our ideologies and our systems. And inshallah we ask Allah to guide us to that shaykh path. أقول قول هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. I'm just going to finish off with a hadith of Sayyidina Ali رضي الله عنه and an ayah from the Qur'an. Now the hadith of Ali رضي الله عنه, and Ali was known to be very hakim, he had a lot of wisdom, and he was known to be a judge. He was a judge, he was qadi. So he was very able to understand things, and he was said he can understand people very quickly. Not in an arrogant way, but he can tell people's attitudes when he sees how they behave, he knows what they're like. So he summated this whole world into five things. He said that the dunya is, you eat it, you drink it, you touch it, you wear it, and you have intimacy in it. So he said, so with regard to the best of food, the best of food is the vomit of bees, honey. Meaning to say, why are you so worried? The vomit of bees is the best food, that's the best of food you have. He said the best of drink is water, and that's the same thing that animals drink. We drink water, animals drink water. So meaning to say, why are you so worried? He said the best of clothes is silk, and silk is the excretion of worms and spiders. That's what all it is. The vomit of the worms and spiders, that's what it is. Nothing. And he said, and the smell, the best of smell, is the mucus of a gazal, the musk. Comes from mucus. That's what musk comes from. It's not worth it. And the fifth and last thing, he said, the intimacy, a relation between a man and a woman. And he said, this is the meeting of the two organs of excretion. So why are you worried? Why do people strive for these materialistic things when the end of it doesn't really give you any satisfaction? That's what Ali radiallahu anhu said. So really he's saying, don't worry about the world. If you lose a bit of money, it doesn't matter. If you lose a bit of wealth or fame or what, it doesn't matter. is all ending. And this is an ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, He says, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ, say, O Muhammad, if, and he says the 8 things, if they are better than these 3 things, then he says, wait for Allah to deal with it. 8 things, and if you note, all of the 8 things are halal. All of the 8 things that we mentioned now are halal. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ أَبَعُكُمْ وَأَوْلَدُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٍ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٍ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا ومساكن ترضونها أحب إليكم من الله ورسوله وجهاد في سبيله فتربصوا حتى يأتي الله بأمره. He says, say, O Muhammad, if your fathers, your sons, your brothers, all halal, these are the things you should keep good relations with, your sons, your fathers, your sons, your brothers, your wives, your relations, money that you fear of losing, your business that you fear of going bust, or your houses that you feel content in, if these 8 things are more beloved to you than Allah and His Messenger and striving in His way, فَتَرَبَّصُوا, so wait, تَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ, until Allah will come with His order. And He doesn't say He's going to punish you, He's going to kill you, He's going to wipe you out. But we ask Allah, اللهم لا, اللهم استخدمنا ولا تستبدلنا. Oh Allah, use us and don't replace us. We want to be used for Allah so that we can be proud on the Day of Judgment and say Alhamdulillah that we strive in Allah's cause. So we need to see this, inshallah, balance between prophets and prophets. Prophets in Anbiya and prophets in Makasib. Prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and prophets of money, wealth prophets. We have prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the prophets of the world, they go up and down, but we don't need to hold on to these things. Leave the dunya in your hands and not in your heart, because really as soon as it penetrates your heart, you'll start to have a sense of greed, and it leads to worse and worse and worse, and lying and cheating, which we've seen has manifested in many countries in the world. So we seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just 4 points of advice, which to myself first and foremost and to all of us, is that we need to live, like I've been saying through this khutbah, for the higher purpose of the Qur'an. To really make this Qur'an the syllabus of the world that we live by. That's our first and foremost. We need to really study it. We need to avoid argumentation. This is the second thing, because argumentation doesn't lead to anything, but just it leads to many, many diseases. Argumentation is useless. People are constantly arguing. Should I do this? Should I do that? And over petty things, and shaitan is laughing at us, saying, look at these idiots. I conned their fathers, I conned their forefathers, and they're still arguing. They didn't learn from the examples from before us. That's the Surah Al-Baqarah, the second chapter in the Quran. It's telling us that these Bani Israel were constantly arguing with the prophets. So don't be like that. And we need to establish Dar al-Arqam. Dar al-Arqam was the place where Muhammad ﷺ, as soon as he saw that the Muslims were starting to increase, he put together what we would call a university today, or a school, where he taught people manners and etiquette and purification of the heart and how to treat people. That's what it was, Dar al-Arqam. And Dar al-Arqam ibn al-Arqam, all he's known for is contributing with his house. So we need to really establish things and attend lectures, attend lessons, and have a syllabus that you go by. Go to a sheikh, ask him, please give me a syllabus of things I need to know. What is my fard ayn? Fard ayn is obligatory for every in Muslim. Fard kifaya is obligatory for the nation as a whole. They have to do it. For example, fard kifaya is tib, medicine. You don't all have to be doctors, but there has to be some doctors. Fard ayn is your prayer. You have to know how to pray, you have to do your wudu, all of these things. And the last thing is advice of Prophet Muhammad. He said, when somebody asked him for advice, he said, قُلْ أَمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ. Say, I believe in Allah and be upright. So whatever you say, do it. كَبُرَ مَقْتَنَ عَنْدَ اللَّهِ أَنْ تَقُولُ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, how disgusting and odious is it to Allah that we say what we do not do. We say we are Muslims, we say we are people of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so at least we need to practice what we say. I really ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to the straight path, to give us the patience and ability to establish true Islam in the world, to help us and avoid us from getting into silly arguments and argumentation, ya Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma akhbar al-Muslimin wal-Muslimat, al-Mu'mineen wal-Mu'minat, al-Ahya'i minhum wal-Amwat. Allahumma akhbar al-Muslimin wal-Muslimat fi kulli makan, ya Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma arana al-haqq haqq wa rizukna tiba'ah, wa arana al-batil batilan wa rizukna ishtinabah. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. آمين آمين آمين. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد. إن الصلاة تنهى عن فحشاء منكر بغي يعدكم عدكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وأقم الصلاة.